Well, in case you missed it, this week the federal budget was handed down. And while Treasurer Scott Morrison was heavy on the jobs and growth message, there was no clear plan about how that strategy would play out in regional Australia, where jobs in mining and resources have been hemorrhaging since the end of the boom. One rural lobby group labelled the budget as piecemeal. There was a fair bit of anger from the Farmers Federation, and there's no doubt that really any other substantive announcements are going to be left to the election campaign. But the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, was upbeat.
The farmers in Australia haven't had as good a time as this for a long time in terms of exports.
Well, that's not quite what we're hearing this morning.
He's a little bit ahead of himself, I think, but we'll gladly accept it when it comes.
Export wheat is pretty dismal at the moment, price-wise. Cotton is pretty reasonable. It's come up in price. It's quite good. I think he probably was a little bit general in saying that.
I'll give it a 5.5 out of 10, but, you know, it was pretty thin for us in Western Australia. The only interesting thing, I think, for us is tax cuts for small business or business below $10 million turnover.
Tony York there from the WA Farmers. Anna Vito is our political reporter here at Parliament House. Anna, could we say this budget was 50 shades of beige?
Yeah, we probably could, Edwina. There's not a lot to get excited about in there really for agriculture, but the Agriculture Minister and, of course, the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce, says there is stuff in there for ag.
All across the nation, it builds on the basis of the agricultural white paper and extends it in two very succinct components, which are water infrastructure and transport infrastructure.
Of course, what's not in this budget that farmers were looking for is a resolution on the backpacker tax. Your government, though, has very clearly indicated it might have more to say about this during the election campaign. Isn't it morally wrong to play politics like that with people's livelihoods?
Well, this is an issue which was clearly legislated, and it requires a lot of negotiations to deal with. I don't think this is a case of a moral issue. Many people, there are two sides to this argument, and people know the side we're batting for. We're trying to make sure that farmers have the capacity to get their crops off, because if you can't get your crops off, you don't get paid. The other side of the argument turns up and says, well, what exactly are you asking for? A tax break for people from overseas. Now, I think the reality of where we need to land is between the two.
Well, why can't you land there yet? You've had a proposal from the industry. It's a unique situation in that it's a unified position from industry, from the tourism sector, from regional communities. They say that it's not even just a revenue-neutral proposal, it's a revenue-positive proposal. Why can't you settle it for them?
Well, I've got absolute confidence that we will get to a resolution.
When?
And I'm not going to start suggesting that now. We've got the budget out, and I want people to concentrate on the budget. I want to concentrate even on the money that we've got for the regional ABC. I want to make sure that they concentrate on the further work that we're doing in making sure that we roll out our ag councillors, that we start with some of our biosecurity control issues. I mean, we've got issues even there for European carp.
But as you know, farmers also focus on their farm gate prices. You talk about that frequently, yeah. And farmers are saying they will not be able to sell their crops and get a farm gate price because they won't be able to get people to pick and pack those crops unless your government changes its mind on the backpacker tax.
Well, I know that what people want is just a discussion on nothing else but the backpackers' tax. I can assure you that we are negotiating a solution there, and there is more to be said in the coming period. In the immediate coming period. And no, I'm not going to be announcing what that solution is today.
We'll just have to wait and see what that is. Farmers obviously were also disappointed not to see more for inland rail in this budget. They had said that they wanted to see something that would actually see railway turned. What do you make of that argument?
It's amazing that the previous Labor Green Independent Alliance never built it, never even started it. All they ever did was talk about it.
But we're talking about your government.
Talk about it, think about it, complain about it, but never do it, just like they did with dams.
Yeah, your government hasn't done it either.
They'd always be philosophising about it, but never actually do it. But we are doing it, Anna. We've put already on the table $300 million. Now we've got close to an extra $600 million to continue on with the process. We'll actually be buying land for the corridor. We'll actually be progressing the process of making sure that we have the capacity to deliver this. This will actually be real assets sitting on the balance sheet, tangible things you can go out and touch and say that is part of the inland rail process. Now, Anna, if you put $300 million on the table and a further $600 million on the table, if you're going to make close to a $1 billion investment, believe you me, you're building it. This is for real.
On dams, finally, on dams, the concessional loans facility that's been set up to help state and territory governments build this kind of water infrastructure is what's been announced in this budget. It comes at a time when we've seen criticism of concessional loans programs rolled out by the Commonwealth government, both yours and the previous Labor government. And it also comes amid some concern about the government's existing Northern Australia concessional loans programs, that they're hard to access, they're bureaucratic, there are issues with the criteria. How are you going to ensure that this new program will be well administered and easy enough for people to access to actually get these projects happening?
Well, once more, I draw people to the comparative analysis. When I became the Minister for Agriculture and later on dragging water resources in there to make sure they've got a more substantial department that is delivering, we had only 8 loans that had been granted under the Labor Green Independent Alliance.
I understand now, that, but, and we've talked a lot about that, but how will you make sure this program doesn't fall into those holes?
But Anna, this is the answer to the question. They only gave out 8. We've given out 800. We've given out in loans more than $400 million. The report says that some of them are going out too quickly. Not going out at all, but going out too quickly. I mean, I'm quite happy to address the issues, as we should, in that report. But we are not going to be embarrassed by the fact that we're actually doing what we're supposed to do, finding people who need the money and getting the money to them.
Sure, but my question was, how will you make sure that this concessional loans program for water infrastructure will be well designed, its criteria will be well put together, and it won't be criticised the same way previous loans have?
I'm happy if the criticism is you had this money for water infrastructure and, oh my gosh, you've lent it all out and we've got all these dams around the country. I'll accept that criticism, and Anna, I'm going to welcome you back into my office to criticise me uphill and downdale about how, just like we've lent money out for concessional loans in the rural industry, we've also lent money out for the concessional loans to build dams.
Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce. And there's no doubt foreign investment is going to continue to be a hot issue. We've already heard some sharp comments from the investment world about the fallout from the failed Chinese-Australian bid for the Kidman properties.
That's really giving no confidence to the market that if somebody's been through an 18-month sale process, that they've spent significant amounts on due diligence, that they've engaged with all of the appropriate regulators and government departments, that there is a strong likelihood that they'll be able to get something across the line into settlement.
That's Danny Thomas, an investment advisor with CBRE. Coupled with that, Australian agribusiness companies keep telling us how hard it is to get local dollars. Victorian dairy business Burra Foods is in just that position. Here's CEO Grant Crothers.
We had a number of suitors who wanted to work with us, but none of them were Australian. All the interest was from offshore investors, and we chose Fuyuan as a best fit.
Now, Edwina, obviously we've heard a lot of political conversation about the Kidman sale and what both parties are planning to do with it. Labor has criticised the government for its handling of this process, even though its own leader has also said he's uneasy about the idea of selling that much land to a foreign entity. What we did hear, though, from Labor's Shadow Agriculture Minister today was at least one firm commitment ahead of the election.
I will promise to make it a public register in the same way people can go to state titles offices right now and see who owns what. I don't accept that we can't get over the privacy concerns. I don't know why Barnaby Joyce has broken this promise, but it's a great disappointment to the broader community, and it's again sending all the wrong signals to international investors.
Can Labor promise that it will not move ahead with a 32.5% backpacker tax?
Well, we've been highly critical of the dysfunction here. There was no consultation. It was a cash grab in last year's budget, $500 million over 4 years. No modelling was done on the impact on the sector or indeed the broader economy. I've been visiting horticultural operations everywhere, and people are screaming about the impact it's already having. Let's wait and see what the government does. It's suggesting it's going to further review the tax, but it has booked the revenue over the next 4 years, so I'm not optimistic for any change.
So given, though, what you've just said there, can Labor promise it is not going to move ahead with this tax?
Well, we're not going to be making promises the morning after the budget when we haven't seen the detail. That they've grabbed.
You've had a year to look at this proposal, though.
They've grabbed $250 million over 4 years. We'd sit down with the sector. The sector's demonstrated a capacity to have the conversation. It says there are better ways of doing this. So, of course, in government, we'll sit down with them and work through the issues.
Why do you need to sit down with them? We've already seen an unprecedented unified approach from the ag sector, together with the tourism sector, together with regional communities. They've presented a proposal, an alternative for a 19% tax rate. They say they've found a way to make that revenue positive for the government, not even just revenue neutral. Why not listen to them?
And to its credit, the sector has not said, look, we can't have any change. Those proposals, of course, haven't been costed by Treasury, and I'd prefer to sit down with the sector to see whether they're the best responses. There are some broader visa reforms required here. I like the idea, for example, of a specific ag visa, so we can cut through the complexity and ensure that horticulture and other sectors in agriculture have the capacity to deal with those surge issues. So I think there's plenty of scope here for working through the issues with the sector to get these things properly costed by Treasury. This is in stark contrast with this government's approach, which has just whacked the sector, taken the money and run.
The other disappointment for agriculture in this budget is inland rail. They were hoping for a significant commitment that would actually see rail laid and turf turned, in the words of the National Farmers Federation's Chief Executive, Tony Marr. They're not getting that in this budget. What's Labor's plan for inland rail? Do you have one?
Labor had a plan and we were progressing the project. The fact is that the Abbott government cut funding to the Inland Rail project in its first two budgets. Last night was only catch-up, only replacing what had already been taken away. So we've still lost 2 years, and on that basis we are a long way from seeing this multi-billion dollar project progress to construction phase.
Are you committed to that project, though? If you were re-elected, for example, would that be something you would put in place?
Labor remains committed to the Inland Rail project. We funded it far more generously when we were last in government, and we'll continue to support it in government again.
Labor's Joel Fitzgibbon. Well, away from the politics for a little while, Anna, one of the other big stories, of course, was the wine reforms. John Pooley is a winemaker from Tasmania.
The wet tax reform is a very important part for Tasmanian producers. Naturally, as you grow, it's better if we can continue to claim that rebate. Up to 500 would be very good, especially as we have grown on that basis. This rebate has allowed us to expand our business. So once we reach the 290,000, well, then we're basically on our own for growing the business. If it's 500, well, then we still have an incentive to keep growing the business, to return that basically back into the economy.
Would you have liked it to have stayed at 500,000?
Absolutely.
Anna, this is a story that invites a different reaction depending on who you're talking to.
It sure does, Edwina, and already we're seeing some reaction coming from winemakers who don't lease or own vineyards. They're concerned they may miss out on the rebate, even though they're legit. The Winemakers Federation says the criteria haven't been set yet and it's keen to talk through those with government.
Bottom line, the main game now is the looming election campaign. For a scorecard on this budget, let's head to the Queensland electorate of Maranoa, about as safe as it gets for the Coalition, where the Dalby sales were in full swing this morning.
I think it's a great start for the inland rail. We've got to have an inrail rail system in Australia to get the freight on the rail, because the roads can't hack the expansion of freight that is being moved.
Let's move on to another budget item, the small business tax package, and that purchase limit of $20,000, that'll be extended, but they've upped the annual turnover to $10 million. Is that a good thing?
I think it's an excellent thing, because $2 million doesn't take very long to get to these days, and I think there's a lot of businesses will be able to take advantage of the expansion from 2 to 10.
It's many comments saying the budget has been a bit light on in terms of things like funding for roads, funding for black spots, probably no clarity on where the backpacker tax is at. Were you disappointed in that sense?
I think the backpacker tax is something that's got to happen. We use backpackers on our irrigation cotton farm. When we have full water, we just cannot get enough staff. Otherwise, we've always got two or three backpackers, and I think it's essential that tax has to come back.
Yeah, Don Stiller from Wundown. I think it's pretty sensible. I think the main thing is we didn't have a big spending sprue, because the country just can't afford to be throwing money about just to win elections. We've got to be fair dinkum.
There was a bit of money put down, though, I must say, for the Inland Rail, $594 million. What do you think of that project?
It's got to get off the ground. We definitely need an inland rail. Oh, anything at all that shifts freight economically has got to be a big thing. I mean, you're following on the airport here in Toowoomba, these things are starting to come together nicely. There seems to be a couple of parcels of money that they haven't really told us what they're going to do with it, and I think that'll come out in the pre-election. So maybe some of those things like dams and water and those sort of things might come out in the next few weeks.
And that's Don Stiller, a farmer from southeast Queensland. It's always good to let the punters have the last word. A big thanks to Anna Vito. That's our take on the federal budget. We have extensive coverage on all of those issues online at our special budget sites at ABC Rural. Don't forget, if your 6 a.m. alarm call on a Saturday is proving too much, you can catch up with our Country Breakfast podcast in your own time. Thanks to Nick Nearish for technical production. I'm Edwina Farley. You're with RN.